Well, I want to go somewhere today in the Word, and I want to lay a foundation. And a lot of this, I think, I originally got this Word a couple of weeks ago, or I don't remember, 3 weeks ago, whenever I had COVID, which was awesome, just amazing. It was a blessed time. So I shared, I think, a couple of weeks ago just how, you know, I don't get a whole lot of time off, so you have to stay home, you know, where I work at Walmart when you have COVID. So I was like, got some home, so it was good. Got a lot of good reading and a lot of good downtime, and it actually was just a huge blessing. So we're gonna eventually be in Genesis, but I want to lay a foundation in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, "Rejoice evermore." So it doesn't say rejoice sometimes. It says rejoice evermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that all my equipment just got stolen, my $20,000 worth. Thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you. That's good. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Doesn't say in some things. It says in everything, we give thanks. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for today. We thank you for this word today and this morning. And we thank you that you are awesome and that your Holy Spirit is present with us. And we ask for you to just speak through me today. We don't want to hear Jeff. We want to hear you. What's your heart? What are you saying? And we thank you for our church and our all the believers, and for online that they can watch. And we just thank you for everything. We thank you for a beautiful day, the weather. We thank you for good things and quote-unquote bad things. We thank you for everything. We give you thanks, Lord. Now we just pray that you open your word to us today. And in Jesus' name, amen. So it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. That's good news. That's good news. God is doing it. He is in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Faithful is he. Is God faithful? God's faithful. It says, faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Walter, we didn't kiss this morning. We hugged. I think we shook hands. That's good. That's good. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. So all the believers. So he's telling us, read this to the believers. Tell them to rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Thank you for COVID. It's nothing. We break the power of these crazy things in our lives by thanking God. We thank him for everything. It sounds scandalous. It almost can tick you off. You're like, well, that's not from God. And there's another theology there. But I don't believe God gives that stuff to people, but I believe that he causes everything to work together for our good. So in this world, you will have troubles. I know that. It says over in Colossians 4:2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And this it's a small little sentence, but it actually, in the Greek, it says to constantly be steadfastly devoted to in prayer and watch, which is give strict attention to thanksgiving. Pretty serious. He gives a real strong encouragement to thanksgiving. So that was Colossians 4:2. It just says continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So constantly be steadfastly devoted in prayer and watch with thanksgiving. So, in 2 Timothy 3:1-2, and I've said this probably 100 times this year. I don't know why. I always think of this, but it says, "This know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." And it lists 19 like scathing characteristics of end time people. And the scary thing is you can look at that and see yourself in those. You know, I think of the story we're about to read here in Genesis is a pretty powerful story and is the foundation of our faith. We're going to be in Genesis 22 eventually here. But I wanted to kind of zero in on the fact that it says in the end times there will be an unthankful people. And it doesn't even just talk about just the world. It's even talking to us. I'm amazed at the things that we gripe about, like just constantly. And it's just any little small thing. And I see God in it, quite honestly, in people's lives. I just see the Lord like, and that's not good theology, but I just see that he drives us to him. Jim used to say our life is falling apart by design. You know, and that's where we just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. On our way to Genesis, I want to stop over into Psalms 107. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." That word praise is yada. It's the same word that was in the very first verse that says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." We're going to see today, you're going to see thanksgiving, sacrifice, and worship just intertwined. And I saw it like this over the past few weeks, and I'm reading as I read and stuff, I'm seeing how intertwined that is. And as we read kind of the story in Genesis and even in the Psalm, I think you'll see this intertwining, this thanksgiving, this sacrifice, and this praise and worship. Just how, because we think of worship, you know, what is worship? Well, we were singing, praising the Lord, that's worship. It's a lot more than that. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder." And here it says it again. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he's broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." Anybody ever been a fool? We can just see ourselves in this. We can see ourselves in this. "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Here it is again. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." I don't know if this verse has always spoken to me. I love 107. It's just up and down. It's the Israelites. It's you know, we're, because of our foolishness, and we got all these problems, and then we're delivered, and then we got problems, and then we're delivered. It's just God constantly relating to us and constantly be drawn in. Whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, whatever that trial is, everything's drawing us to God to thank him and to praise him and to worship him. Says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then in 22 it says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. So we can see the Lord, even in our jobs and everything we're doing. We see the Lord. We see these works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. So you're at your wit's end, you cry unto the Lord. God hears a desperate cry. It says here, he makes the storm calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired heaven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It goes on, and then the last verse just says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So, you know, we've learned here for many years that our picture of God is everything. That we have to understand that God's a loving Father, not a angry judge. We know that. We've heard that. We've heard that. Like Larry said, we got it in our head, but to get it in our heart, where we just know, and it's all about trusting God. We trust him. We trust him with everything. You know, everything. Everything, we trust him and thank him. Everything works together for our good. I hear these testimonies just this morning, and, you know, just have things that I think about just from work and from home and from all over. And I just see his hand, you know, even in your testimony, you know, just the fact that Rachel gets to be with you and be at home and, you know, y'all can fellowship, and that could be a trial. I get it. Especially when you're older and everybody's set in their ways. It's good because you get to see sin, right? You get to see sin. Your flesh comes out. You want to murder them. It's good. That was part of my testimony with COVID. I always give a good testimony, but part of it is you see your sin. It was a great time to just see sin and just see how powerless and just see how you're just vulnerable. You have nothing. You're wandering in a solitary way, just like we just read in Psalms 107. Anybody ever been lonely as a believer, feel like I am all by myself? I think there is that in us that God, he's created us to be a praiser and a worshiper and be in fellowship, like you were talking about last week, Clay, and Paul was in his message. Koinonia, I think, was the word, but just this fellowship, this relationship that God's, it is not about performance. It is not about performance. We look at all that stuff and we're moved by all that stuff. It's about relationship. So powerful. God is so good. So that all that's just kind of a foundation. I wanted to build that foundation for this story that I want to share. We've all heard it many times, but I want to share it and read it. I told you guys, I think, you know, I was the big Jewish New Year this year. I just wanted to go through Genesis and kind of start through. And so I've been reading through that. And Cooper's been doing the same thing. And we didn't really talk about this. And I don't do this every year. So for whatever reason, this year I just felt led to kind of go through and start. And I don't know that I'll probably trail off. But I've been reading through Genesis. And today we're going to be in Genesis 22, where it's talking about Abraham. And, I've been chewing on this for a couple of weeks. And just every day I'm getting new stuff from it. And the Lord's teaching me just real powerful things from this story. And it's always about relationship. It's always about God's longing and loving to relate to us and to fellowship with us. And it goes even back, you know, when you look at Adam and Eve and what was Adam created for. And I was even thinking this week, you know, when he created Adam and Eve, there was no Satan to cast out. There was no demons to cast out. There was no all the stuff that goes on that we walk through now. It was just fellowship. He made him to fellowship with him, and Adam to fellowship with him, and him to fellowship with Adam and Eve. I mean, that was what they were created for. So when we look at Abraham, if we back up a little bit in Genesis 21, I'm kind of jumping right into this story about Abraham and Isaac. And if you look at Genesis 21, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God has commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him." So he had this promise. You know, if you go back in Genesis, he's going to have this seed. And there's the whole story of Hagar and Ishmael and all this. So this tarrying, this character that's being built, and you know, that God's doing in Abraham, he's 100 years old when Isaac's born. And it says, "And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And he said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." So we see some stuff here just as we're getting into like the sacrifice of Isaac, which is what we're going to chew on today. But I wanted to kind of start just kind of building up to that. Because if you look at this, this is really where the crux of this really starts, because the mocking that we read, that Ishmael's mocking Isaac, he's not mocking Isaac for being born. He's mocking Isaac as he's getting weaned, as he's growing. And it says in Galatians that it's still like that to this day. That the flesh mocks the spirit. The world mocks the believers. It's how it is. It's persecution. It's how stupid you are for believing. Danny said it, I think, a week or two ago. Or you kind of say this every now and then, but it's true. The world thinks we're a joke, if anybody doesn't know that already. It's good. It's good. That's a good thing. Praise God. It should. It should. I actually like that. I want to like that more. I'm still too wanting this world to accept me. And the Lord, help us just thrive. I pray that we thrive on that mockery, that I can get excited. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That's what I long for. That's my prayer, actually. It's actually what I'm called to do. That's what I'm born to do. That's Jesus came to die. He came to be mocked and stoned and everything. I mean, that's what he came for. You know, it's not good on our flesh, but I pray, Lord, help us to get energy from that and not to be trying to get anything from this world of compliments or pat on the backs or no. We want, Lord, put that in us. I don't know if it's coming out the way that it's, but I pray that we yeah. And then we have fun with it. And I've told you guys, I've shared this, and I can't ever express this the right way, but when I was in the Corps, there was a point in time after a couple of months of just complete hell, like sleep deprivation, no food, it's horrible. You're broken, completely broken. And there's a point where you're all together and there's a unity with your buddies that is actually fun. And you're like, we're going to get smoked no matter what. And you start having fun. There's a, not a cockiness, but there's a, you're just like, we're toast no matter what. And it actually starts to become a lot of fun, getting in trouble. Because you're like, we're getting in trouble no matter what, so let's go. We might as well do this. Let's go all the way. And you go all the way. And I there's something there that's, it's that same spirit. And I heard a couple of weeks ago as I was kind of reading through this, and I've heard it a time or two, but just the spirit of Abraham. And you can see it in Isaac. You can see it in Abraham. You can see it in different, I thought about Holly, your story about your cell phone when you went to that retreat kind of thing, and you're kind of like solitary way, wandering in a solitary way. You're kind of by yourself, and you're like, what am I even doing here? But I thought of that story this morning because that's a believer. It's like God was speaking to her about that situation, and she was giving something up, and she was calling things that weren't as though they were. It's the story today. That story, that testimony is the story today. So Ishmael, I think, is like 16 or 17 when he's mocking Isaac. Isaac's being weaned, and it's probably like 3 years old. Josephus says he's three. I don't know, you know. But I don't know if it really says it in the word, but about, you know, if Ishmael's 16, 17, he knows everything. He's got it all. So he's mocking Isaac. I don't know if anybody has a 16 or 17-year-old, but I was 16 or 17 one time, and I knew it all. I knew everything. Okay, you know, you haven't had quite enough experiences to know you don't know anything, but you're just about to. So, but the flesh, whether it's religious or whatever way the flesh comes across, is the flesh, and it wars against the spirit. I thought it was kind of interesting too. It says there in verse 12, it says, "Hearken unto her voice." It says in all that Sarah has said unto you, he's talking to Abraham, God's talking to Abraham, in all that Sarah has said to you, hearken unto her voice. So the Lord was telling Abraham, hey, listen to your wife. Listen to your wife. And I was thinking about this when Dave B. was sharing. He was reading out of Luke 1 the other day. And there's a part in there where Zacharias was dumb. He couldn't talk. And Elizabeth was about to have John. And they came. The people that were there came to Elizabeth and said, what's his name going to be? And she said, John. And they're like, no, this it can't be John. You don't even have anybody in your family named John. So they go to Zacharias. Zacharias, what's the name going to be? Well, he's dumb. So he says, give me a chalkboard. And I could see him looking at Elizabeth. John, right? John. And he writes John. So they were trying to default to him to say, it's going to be Zacharias, right? Is that the name? Is that the name we're going for? And he's like, no, it's going to be John. So he hearkened to his wife. You know, you get these help meets in life. Listen. Listen. I just thought that was just kind of interesting. So if we go to Genesis 22, jumping into, this is our story today. This is the message. So we've been building up to this. We're talking about Thanksgiving. We're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about praise. And just a couple of things just that, to meditate on or to think about is back then, sacrifice and altars and burnt offerings and all this kind of stuff that's kind of foreign to us, those are just words. But when God came to Abraham the first time earlier in Genesis and he told him he was going to have this promised seed in Isaac, Abraham immediately made an altar. They were very familiar with sacrifices. They were familiar with this. You know, we talked about a few weeks ago, Adam and Eve, when God, you know, they'd made fig leaves. But what did God do? He made them skins. It's the first kind of sacrifice. Or he sacrificed an animal and gave them skins. I learned through this, just there's a thing called the law of firsts in the Bible. And we're going to see a law of first here. It's when something happens for the first time. And I don't know if this is outside of just Christianity, but I've heard this before, that law of first, it's something you pay attention to. And this story is so incredibly powerful, and there's no way I'm going to be able to draw out. In fact, I think if we read this, I say this a lot, but the word is so deep. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, it's like we're going to touch the tip of the iceberg. So today, take a few notes, get a nugget, hear what the Lord's speaking to you personally. But there's so much in this story. I think we could live in Genesis 22. It's the story of redemption. It's the story of relationship. If we start in 22, it says, and it came to pass after these things, this is Genesis 22, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And I think that it's a good thing when you think about this story for God to say, hey, this is a test on the front side of this. Because you kind of get an idea, okay, he's going to make it out of this. Okay, and it kind of reminds me of Abraham got a word before. He got a promise earlier about Isaac. So Abraham's got to already be thinking he's either going to raise him up, something's going to happen. So he could move forward. He had a word that he would thrive on the front side of this situation. Right? So he had a word already. He already had a word. I love that. It doesn't, and quite honestly, when I get a word, sometimes it is so small and quiet and one little thing. I'm fine though. I don't even listen to all the other noise and people going back and forth about everything else because I already got a word and it's small. And it's like you don't know how bold to be on it, but you know, I'm comfortable. I'm good. I heard from the Lord and I'm fine. And I'm going to be able to thank him and rejoice. Why? Because I know he's working everything together for my good. Even if you don't have a word about a specific situation, you have a word from the Lord. He causes everything to work together for your good. Give it to him. Just give it up to him. He's causing everything to work together for your good. I think we thank him for all the good stuff. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day today. But to thank him for a child that's off wandered, or to thank him for cancers, or to thank him for COVID, or whatever it is, it's nothing. We thank him. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord. This is awesome. Thank you. We praise you for this. Verse 2, it says, and he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. So it's the first time that the word love is mentioned in the Bible. We talked about the law of firsts. I'm telling you, this story is powerful. This is the gospel. So he says, this son whom you love. And he's not encouraging him at all. This is not an encouraging word. In fact, he draws out this. He draws out this command to go sacrifice your son. You know, he's like, your son, Isaac, whom you love, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, get thee into the land. There's no encouragement. In fact, he's drawing it out. He's making this longer. Your son, whom you love, your only son, go sacrifice him. He's making it worse. So they're traveling from Beersheba. You can see in some later verses that he's in Beersheba and he's going to Salem, which is Jerusalem. And it's about 50 miles walk. I don't know if y'all have done this, but everybody has Google Maps. Well, I'll Google Maps stuff and it's kind of fun. And I'd heard 50-something miles. Well, I Google Maps it. Well, it says 67. I'm like, wait, oh, that's the driving way, but you got to walk. So had they been driving, it was a 67-mile drive, but they're walking, so it's 50 miles. But it's fun. You can Google Maps where Jesus and these guys were walking around to. Anyways, I get excited about goofy stuff sometimes. So they're traveling from Beersheba to Salem, which is about a three-day walk. Okay, and this is interesting. The 3 days is interesting, but it's also there's a time where he's going. And the awkwardness he's got two guys with him. He's got Isaac. They've got the wood, and we're going to read a little bit about this. But I think about the fact that he's got this 3 days to think about this. It says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Why did he wake up early? I don't know. It's a good question. I like to ask, you know, why did it, there's earlier in the story when he woke up early. You know, people have said he woke up early to avoid Sarah. You know, because there's no mention of him and Sarah having this conversation about what God had told Abraham to do. Right? So he might be like, come on, you know, sneaking out, I don't know. I can imagine what my wife would be like had I told her what God told me to do, you know. And I've heard people talk about the fact, and I've thought about this, that Abraham, there's no Mosaic, you know, law at this time that says thou shalt not murder. But there is a Noah law in Genesis 9 where he tells Noah that we don't murder, you know. So there's, it doesn't make sense, you know, either way you look at it. So, and Abraham's quiet in here. He's not arguing with God like, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah going back and forth arguing with God. God tells him about this. We're in Genesis 22. So God tells him about this, and you don't see Abraham doing what Abraham did before, where he's going back and forth, and no, he's just quiet. You know, it was like there was a death when he received this, and he knew as he knew that he was going to have to, Isaac had to have the right place in his heart. Either way, it wasn't going to be an earthly father love that he currently had with Isaac. It was going to be a spiritual relationship that he had to have with Isaac. So it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with his ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what?
Worship.
He's going to worship. Which goes back to why I wanted to start with what I started with, Psalms 107 and Thessalonians, where we rejoice evermore. We thank God in everything. And he's going to worship. Here's a powerful thing. It's a decision. We make a decision. When we get up early in the morning, we're thanking him and we're praising him because that's who we are. And God is awesome. If we're not, and I hate to use the word discipline, but disciple comes from that word. But because in American Christianity, nobody likes that word discipline. But there is something to getting up and spending time with the Lord and getting your mind right or getting in line with him and you realizing you're not God. And you're to die daily so that you can be alive in Christ so that when things don't work out right off the bat, you're not griping, complaining, mumbling. Because I love watching that. It's just crumble, 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 falling apart. Get with Jesus. Because he'll help you just rejoice in everything. We complain about the dumbest things. We complain about the dumbest things, guys. Do we not?
Yeah.
The dumbest things. I think about the last 100 years. Just take 100 years and you look at the history of mankind. You know, thousands of years. They've never had cars with heaters. I drove this morning pretty comfortable with a heater. Anybody have a heater this morning? Hot shower this morning? Toilet inside the house? We are complainers. You've got to realize that. We're complainers. He's calling us to thank him for everything. The generation that has the most is the biggest complainers. We have so much, too much. They were rejoicing years ago in the cold and with no heater and with no running water. There was people full of joy and peace. And they didn't have anything that we have. They didn't have the resources to get up and throw toast in and butter, you know, and man, water. Yeah, get out, go. The milk's over there. It's pretty cold. Especially in Wisconsin, it's like where all the milk is. It's like negative 10 degrees. Gosh. So, yeah, thank God for that. That's why I've got to come to Texas. So they went yonder. So, see, they're Texas. They went yonder and worshiped and come again to you. So he's telling them, we're going to go worship. We're going up here and we're going to go worship. And again, you see worship, sacrifice, intertwined. And he was already thanking God for this hardship. He had 3 days. He's thanking him and he's worshiping God in the midst of a hard word. And Abraham took, you know, and again, I was sharing, you know, Holly's testimony, because part of the testimony was to call things that aren't as though they are. And that's in Romans 4. Yeah, and it's actually, okay, so that calling things which be not as though they were is about Abraham. It says in verse 13, 4:13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. So we see there's a lot of scripture interpreting scripture through this that you can authoritatively say, thus saith the Lord, because it's confirmed in Hebrews and in Romans. You know, he had a word, and it's confirmed in the New Testament. Abraham already had a word. He had a promise already that he was standing on, that he could live by. Says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire. I always laugh when I read this. Behold, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? Because you can see his wheels turning. You know, he sees the wood and the fire, but we're missing the lamb. And Abraham said, my God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. Akedah. I don't know how they pronounce that, but you'll see the binding of Isaac's called Akedah. I don't know how it's pronounced in the Hebrew. I think it's a Hebrew word. But there's books about it and stuff like this. The binding of Isaac, this story. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. And, you know, something to think about here. Isaac at this point is like 24, 25 years old. And how old's Abraham? 100. Isaac could run. I know me. I've run my whole life. I've tried to escape my whole life. God's telling us don't escape. Danny got a word on that and it really spoke to me. Isaac submitted as much as Abraham submitted. Maybe even more. Abraham has 100 years. So Isaac's faith in this situation to be bound and laid on the wood. I mean, he probably even had to lay up there himself. Right? Because Abraham's like 100, he's not going to, huh? 125, he's not going, yeah, because he was 100 when he had him, so he's 125. He's not going to be able to pick him up, probably. So Isaac's like, Dad, we're bound, but, you know, I don't know how that works, okay? So, so it's a powerful thing to think about, you know, Isaac in this situation. We always think about Abraham, but Isaac had to submit to this. And it says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So it's kind of like I think of Peter when he says, He mentions that again, because remember at the beginning he said, your only son. And I remember when Peter, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times. And when Jesus comes, there was a time when he gave Peter a word. And I think it was when he said, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." I don't remember, but I remember Jesus speaking the same amount of times that Peter denied Jesus. He spoke to him the same amount of times and blessing him and redemption. And I see that here. It's like he's saying, "Your only son." It's a reminder. He's saying, because he said that at the beginning, "Take Isaac, your only son." And now he's saying, "Because you feared me, because you've listened to me and offered up Isaac, your only son." He's confirming and solidifying this powerful, powerful story and what just happened. Let's see, where are we? 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns." And I picture Isaac like, yes, yes, there it is. Yes, the relief, right? There's the answer. Yes, probably, and Abraham too. "So Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns." This is called a type, right? This is a type. This is showing. This is about what's going to be happen years later with Jesus. It's a type. You know, Jesus is the Lamb of God. We know that part of the story, so I'm not even elaborating on that, because as believers, we see and know this is a prophecy and a type of Jesus and his, what he's going to do for us. In fact, where they went up from, went from Beersheba to Salem, is, it's, what mount is it? Mount what? Moriah. Well, Mount Moriah is what? The Temple Mount. And actually, they say, scholars say, more Golgotha, like Calvary. So I don't know, but they're evidently right there. I've never been to Israel, but maybe you guys have a visual of what this looks like. But because it doesn't matter to me, I understand the spirit of it. Because you think about how big this world is and how, you know, and he has him go from here. We talked about he went 3 days' journey. Why there? Why not in Beersheba where he was? Hey, offer up your, you know, go in the backyard, you know. No. He's going for a 3-day journey up there. So there's a message there. He's going right where Jesus was going to be sacrificed, crucified thousands of years later. Powerful. It's a powerful thing. God has a plan for our life. He has a plan for your life. And a lot of this message, too, it is a New Year's message. It is a message of, not the new you, okay? But the new you is the dead you, okay? If you're dead you's new you. That's good. But there's, this is foundational. It's beginnings. There's so much about this that is refreshing coming into a new year. You know, I wouldn't say that I go out and just go seek God for what is for this new year. Like, what is the message for this new year? But the Lord always seems to give me a message for the new year. And I'll tell you what it is, if you want to call it Thanksgiving or worship. Okay? Powerful thing. My only thing I don't say the word worship is because I don't think we actually know what worship is. I think we think it's one thing. But it is so much more than that. It's tied to sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. What is a sacrifice? You know, I'm just saying there's some depth to that you just, and especially in the Christian world of, you know, yeah, let's go worship the Lord. What does that mean? Well, Abraham, it was, he's sacrificing his only son that he waited for years and years and years. That was worship. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, what did he call it? Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." So much of our faith and even songs comes out of this story. The spirit of Abraham, the spirit of Isaac. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. You know, one thing I think that we do when we thank God as believers, because we have all this, we have theology. We know, we study how things play out in the Word, and especially going through the faith message. You know, I think we thank God a lot of times, but behind our shoulder, we're looking to see if it's going to work out. We're looking to see, I know there's a theology to just thanking him and everything's going to work out. And you know what? The reality is it's actually true. You thank him and you praise him and you worship him. Everything does work out. But we don't look for that. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for that. You know, Abraham had no idea how this was going to end. Was he going to be resurrected? Was it going to be? Because it says in Hebrews, these guys, they died without seeing what they were promised. So he saw a portion of it, but he didn't see the full thing. You know, Pastor Jim had a vision. You know, Martin Luther had a vision. All these guys, you have a vision. In fact, I think it's funny, it says in the New Testament, in these last days, the New Testament saints then thought they were in the last days. I believe we're in the last days. I think it's in us as believers and sojourners going in a solitary way to believe, and we're in the last days. And the reality is, we are in the last days. I can tell you we are in the last days. I don't have a date, but I know, as I know, we're in the last of the last days. It's fun. It's exciting. It's good. The best is absolutely yet to come, guys. It's exciting. It's fun. So in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up, and they went together to Beersheba. So they went back, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And there's more. You keep reading, and there's, it, you know, just even this morning I'm reading, and I had more questions that kept coming up that was just kind of an interesting thing that I don't want to throw out there, because I don't want to skew your thinking, because I don't have a revelation on it yet. But there was something interesting about that Beersheba that I want to keep going. But it's just, there's a fountain of life in this word. It just constantly gives life. It constantly speaks to us. It constantly grows us. You know, Pastor Jim, 80 years old, he's constantly getting word from the Lord and growing and seeing new things, you know, and seeing things that never seen before. And God, because he's constantly wooing us into a relationship with him, to spend time with him. I had a, when I was in, you know, had my COVID, I loved it. It was just such an awesome time. I'd take these walks, and I'd go down, we have a pond in our neighborhood, and I'd walk down there and walk back every day, try to get some sunshine, fresh air, whatever, you know, just get out and pray, and I'd pray in the spirit, and it was just always an awesome time. Well, I was going out one morning, and my neighbor was out there, and I love these guys, but I had this situation with our cats, and it's a long story, but we have these feral cats, and at first I was kind of like, kind of get out of here type deal, but they kept going, they had more kittens, so we're like, oh geez, now they're little kittens, so next thing we know, we're taking them to get neutered, and then we own them. They're our cats now, you know? So now we feed them, and now we're doing this, and we had this situation with our neighbor because she started feeding the cats, and I was like, where's Dixie? Where'd Dixie go? Where's Scooter? Where's Scooter and Dixie? Because these are my cats now, you know? Well, she's feeding them. So I'm like looking over the fence, and I'm like, I got binoculars out, okay? Guys, it's embarrassing. This is confession. Part of worship is you get to, I think what step is it? You're confessing? Okay. So it was bad. Okay. It was bad. I was mad. I was like, after a while, because I went and got this house thing. I took them to get neutered. I had to take, one was at some ranch being fostered, and I kept calling the lady. I'm like, hey, how's the, I can still come get her, right? And all this kind of stuff. And they're like, yeah. Yeah, it was bad, guys. It was bad. It's bad. And it is embarrassing. This is confessional. Guys, don't judge me. This is bad. This is bad, okay? I confessed at the front side, this is embarrassing, and this is a confession, okay? I get one cat from Arlington. I'm making calls. I get this other cat neutered, and I'm doing all the $100, you know, or something. I don't remember what it was. And the whole time I'm thinking, what am I doing? But, you know, I love these cats. So we go, we get the cats, and then my neighbor starts feeding them, and I don't see them anymore. I'm like, where'd the cats go? You know? So I go over there and I'm like, hey, what's going on with the cats? She bought a house. She bought a hut. She bought this hut and put an electric blanket in there. And I'm like, with my binoculars, I'm like, Liam's on the house. Hey, they got a house. They bought a thing. I'm like, gosh, so I had to up my game. So I bought everybody's shaking their heads. This is bad. I don't think you're supposed to share this stuff probably at church. I probably should pray. Maybe we should close it. Should we close it? So I get a house. I get a... Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So... And I've been wooing these cats in. Dixie lets me pet her, you know, and it's every morning. I get up and I go. This morning I open the door. It's freezing cold. There's gusts of wind. Everybody's like, what's the door open? I'm like, come on, Dick, because she comes in now. So little by little she comes in and she looks and waits for me to get the can. I got to go can food because the lady next door started canned food. So it just kept escalating. I just got regular bag of dry cat food. I'm like, dry cat food. Well, she upped it with Fancy Feast. I'm like, here we go. So I go and buy a case. I'm at Walmart, and I'm like, cat food, top of plan today. I don't know what's going on in the store, but I got to get cat food before I leave. Cans. And I got a case of cans cat food. So they're back now. They're back. And I went and talked to her, and I was like, hey, Blanche, tell me what's going on. You know, I did all this for these cats. These are like, we sit by the door. I look for the cats, you know. And she's like, well, I'm just feeding them. I was like, well, are they yours or mine? Are they ours? What are we doing, you know, because they were feral, you know. I said, I look at them like pets. I went and got them neutered, and, you know, so. Huh? We got a custody battle going on. So. Yeah, they were born in my backyard. You know, come on, right? That's actually not even the worst of the story. So what happened during COVID, and these guys, I love them, actually. We have fun together and laugh, but we're pretty real. It's like a family. So during COVID, you know, I live in Interlock, and there's all these Christmas lights. I don't go big on Christmas lights, but I do. Dave B. set me up with some lights, and I put some verses up, and it's just not, it takes me like 10 minutes. I found the way that looks nice, but you don't have to do a lot. It's my normal way. Like, what can I do that's, so anyways, my neighbor goes full up. They're like full up. Like, I mean, like the Griswolds. So all these cars are coming by, which is fine. No big deal. But I'm talking to my neighbor across the street, and he's a little frustrated about the cars that get parked on the street. So I'm trying to park my cars in my driveway and stuff. Well, my neighbor drives a tow truck. Well, they start parking these trucks in front of my house, and theirs is wide open. And it kind of bothers this guy over here. So anyways, long story short, they start parking their cars in front of our house. And they're regular cars, not the tow truck. So I think it's their son, who's like 18, and I'm thinking, well, Eli would do something like that. Eli would not even think that that's not really, it's this big, huge suburban thing. My grass doesn't grow because they, you know, if there's sun right there. Anyways, long story short, so I go over there and I come and I park my car where they've been parking that car. This is bad, okay? And I'm playing a game. And then I park the other car, so you got a parallel park between them. I'm COVID, okay, and I'm bored. All right, so I'm at home, and I'm trying to get them to not park in front of my house. So I park my car there, and then I park another one, just enough space. Tam's watching me, just like, are you serious? And I'm like backing up so that you can't really parallel park this big, huge Suburban between these two cars, and you got to park in front of my driveway. So I'm like doing all this. And then Kim, who's my neighbor, comes out, and she's like, are you doing this on purpose? I was like, yeah. I was like, Cameron keeps parking in front. And I was like, it's Cameron, right? And she's like, no, it's me. And I'm like, And so I'm exposed, all right? I told you, you see sin during this time, so I'm exposed. And I'm totally busted that I'm doing all this. And I'm like, Kim, you're parking in front of my house, but yours is empty and your driveway is empty. She's like, well, I want people to see our lights. Well, I'm like, well, don't park in front of my house. You know, park in your driveway or something like that. And so this kind of went on, okay? And I'd already asked him a couple months ago, hey, don't park in front of my house, park at yours or whatever, because my grass just stopped growing because that's the only time I get. So I was like, well, I want to, you know. And I had even written down, Tam found my note, because I'd written down the four reasons why I don't want my neighbors to park in front of my house. Yeah, guys, you see why, how I became a Christian. I need a lot of mercy, okay? I'm going to finish this story, but about 3 weeks before they started parking in front of my house, Blanche, who's the mom, her husband passed away. And he was there and he'd been in hospice, so it's kind of a blessing. So the Lord put on my heart, while I had first part of COVID, I was going to get them some sort of meal or do something, but I had COVID, so we didn't want to make them something and take it over. So I was going to get these gift cards, meal gift cards. Well, right as the Lord put this on my heart, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to get gift cards. I go on, and I don't know if you can order it online, so I didn't see how you could do all that. So I was like, well, I'm just going to go to the store. Well, the next day, they start parking in front of my house. So now I'm ticked off. So now I don't want to do what God told me to do. So now I'm exposed as a not an unconditional lover. I told you guys, I was exposed a couple months ago that I don't love unconditionally like Jesus does. So now he told me to do this, to bless them, but now I don't want to because now my flesh is irritated. So now I'm dealing with this. Well, the Lord dealt with me. And he said, you do what I told you to do. So I'm like driven to get these gift cards and bless them with some sort of meal, something like that, because that's what the Lord put on my heart to do. And quit being a 12-year-old, you know, quit acting immature. So I got these gift cards. I wrote him this note because my dad passed away December 30th, exactly a year ago here. And so I just had this compassion on him and just wanted to bless him. And the Lord put that on my heart. So anyways, so I go over there with my letter and my gift cards and I talk to him. I'm out of COVID now. It already been negative and all that kind of stuff. And they're all in there. The whole family's there. So we had fellowship for 15 or 20 minutes just about life and just about this. And this is after all the car stuff, you know. So it's a family. It's what it is to forgive and to love and to not hold things and to just, you know, move on. I see people that won't forgive the most stupid things. And I just can't believe it. And they'll go for years. Jim used to make a joke about it, that so-and-so made a better pie than so-and-so, and then they don't even talk for years. I've seen those sort of situations, and I'm like, man, that is not Jesus. Grow. Be exposed. Confess your sins. You're stupid, okay? You do dumb things. Confess it. Let Jesus cover you, heal you, and you do the small things. And the Lord, and here's what's funny. As soon as I took the gift cards, the next day, you know, we talk about, you know, looking, okay, I'm going to bless them. Maybe that'll get rid of the tow truck. No, it's not that. Because the next day, he had a huge tow truck. Bigger than the normal one. It's like a flatbed. And it was right in front of the house. And even my mom, my mother-in-law is like, did you see what's out there now? Just kind of jabbing me. You know, it's like you trust God and all of a sudden there's a bigger tow truck. It's gotten worse, actually. It's actually gotten worse. So I was like, I don't even care. I was already dead to it. I was already dead to it. It doesn't bother me at all. Park whatever. I'm already dead to that. So anyways, after another couple, no tow trucks, no cars, nothing. It is, I think it's fine now. So I don't know. I don't care. I'm dead to it. So, and I say I'm dead. Maybe it starts parking buses in front of that. I don't know. Huh? Yeah. A semi. I don't know if I got off track or where I'm at. What are we talking about? Abraham. Here's my point. I think I started this message just talking about, you know, Abraham had to sacrifice his son. The things that we get irritated by and the things that we won't give up and the things that we hold on to is a joke. It's literally first world problems. We used to call them first world problems. You know, because you go anywhere in the world, it opens your eyes. Go to Albania for some time. You know, go to somewhere in the world. You know, Africa. Danny lived in Africa. Heck, they cherish every little thing. A rubber band has value. You know, it's embarrassing how much we complain and gripe just about normal, everyday stuff, cell phones and just the things that we complain about is unbelievable. Myself, all of us. It's just, so we're blessed. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus and don't take ourselves too seriously. But this is a year of worship and thanksgiving and praise. And I think I was really encouraged through that verse in Colossians that there is, you know, we teach our kids, say thank you. You know, they're 2 years old. Someone gives them something. Hey, what do you say? You know, as a parent, you're constantly building that in a child to say thank you. And there's a relationship there. There's something when you say thank you, you're saying I received something that you didn't earn that. Someone gave something to you. Now, sometimes there is. You worked for something. You got a paycheck. So I don't call Walmart. Hey, thank you for the paycheck. No, because I worked for that. You know, but a lot of times someone gives you something and you say thank you. It's you just were given that. You didn't earn it. There's a relationship there with even you saying thank you. You're giving something back. You're giving a thank you back when they gave you something. It's relationship. And that's what our message is about today was the story of Abraham is all about relationship and how Jesus died so that we could have a relationship with him. He restored. It was the ultimate. It says that he came in the fullness of time to restore that relationship that God originally had intended in the garden. He restored it through Jesus. And we now have that relationship with him. And it's full. It says in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. We enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter his courts with praise. We thank him and we praise him. We come into his presence every day with thanksgiving. We just start with thanksgiving. Write it in your journal. Keep a journal and write down just things. Every day, this requires a discipline, whatever. Or just do it or don't do it. I'm encouraging you to do it, to practice thanksgiving, writing it down in a journal. Jim used to encourage us, keep a journal. It's good. It's a good thing because and I tell you what, I thought about this morning. We're about to do communion. We don't do altar sacrifices now, but we do communion. And what are we doing? We're partaking in a fellowship and remembering Jesus and what he did. There is part of that story we're about to do right now that happened on Calvary at the same place. Is that he died so that we could be in relationship with him. And that's what we're about to do is we're going to take the body and the blood and we're doing this in remembrance of him and what he did so that we're in relationship with him. Powerful. It's a powerful power. It's the spirit of Abraham. It's even the spirit of Isaac because Isaac, we talked about, he had to submit to this and be bound to this. He was the son that was sent, you know, that was going to be sacrificed. It couldn't have been, it could be his son. That was a type. That was a precursor. That was a, you know, a labor pain to what was coming through that seed later through Jesus. Powerful, powerful story. And I know I feel like I probably just touched on the tip of the iceberg today, but there's, y'all can see it. There's a lot of depth there. What's up, brother?
How you doing?
Good. Good to see you. God is good. Does anybody have any testimony? I know Pastor Dave, do you want to come up and, yeah. Communion? Okay. Okay. If you guys want to come up for communion.
You want to? Me and Larry used to do this in Catholic Church. We're good experience.
Yeah, yeah. True Catholics.